This is Scenic Roots talking writing. Our guests this week again are two poets born in Europe who moved here to America when they were young. Finn Billy grew up in Denmark, while Helga Kidder came of age in a small village in the Black Forest in southwest Germany. They both just published new collections. The King's Coin by Finn Billy addresses directly the notion of dual identity, while Loving the Dead by Helga Kidder is a collection of poems divided into three parts addressing loss, both personal and universal. Helga Kidder moved to Chattanooga after marrying her husband when she was just 20 years old in 1965. Finn Billy has moved here, back to Denmark, here, back to Denmark, and here finally in his mid-20s. The first time he came to America, he was only 11 years old. Helga's next collection, which he's already written, focuses on the confusing question of identity, felt equally by Finn Billy, that inevitably arises when one has roots in two different cultures. This is the second half of our conversation. The first half, if you missed it, is on the radio station website. I'm really impressed, Helga, that you are a poet and such a good poet when you're writing in a second language. Do you think of it that way?
No, English is my first language now. German is has become my second language.
How long was it before you stopped translating in your head from German to English?
It probably was when I began dreaming about my mother and I spoke in English to her. She does not speak English, or she did not speak English. And I would say, about 5 years later. It was very soon because I was totally immersed in English. Everything I did was English. My husband spoke English. All the people that surrounded me were English, you know, speaking people. So it just became my major language, I think. Then, of course, once I went to UTC and studied humanities and how to write, it was just something that came naturally.
But to express how you feel, was that difficult in English?
It was, and at first, but now I say that I can express myself much better in English. Couple of years back, I tried to write something in German, and it sounded really clumsy. I gave up on that because I just don't feel as comfortable. I did not grow with the German language the way I did with the English language.
Mm-hmm. My experience is very similar, actually. I did the same thing, had an experiment in writing a little bit in Danish, and that didn't work. So English is definitely, like Helga's, my first language.
Yeah.
Your most recent collection is called Loving the Dead?
Yes, it is. And it actually deals with, it started when my sister died 3 years ago. And how siblings are, you know, we were always in rivalry a little bit with each other. And she was the older sister, so when mother would say, "Why don't you take Helga along?" she would say, "No way."
How much older was she?
Just 2.5 years.
No, that's enough.
But yes, we were very different. I'm more an internal person, whereas she was outgoing and she was talkative. And I held everything inside me, and I guess that's why I can write poems now. And so anyway this book Loving the Dead was prompted by her death, and the book is in three sections. The first section deals more with the speaker's present and the small deaths that we experience in everyday life. Simple little things, but nevertheless, it's like a death. And then the second section deals with my sister's death. the memories of her and how we acted toward each other, and dealing with her being gone. And suddenly I didn't have that reference anymore where I could talk to her about things mother said or things that happened in the family, and now no one can answer if I have a question. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to talk about that. And then the last part is section where I talk about other people who have died in wars or maybe in a fire, or I took a news story where someone died or others died, and also what happened in other countries. And I also, a couple of poems deal with confrontation between people and what can happen.
Hmm. I read one of your poems online, and forgive me because I can't remember the title of it, but I thought it was just so cleverly conceived. Each stanza talked about everyday banalities before ending with a line that talked about death. And each stanza was a different form of death. The first one was abortion, then the death of a soldier. Is that from this book?
Yes. Do you want me to read it?
Please do.
Okay. It's called Flesh Flood, and it was actually constructed after a poem by Marie Howe. Flesh Flood. It doesn't matter that the sugar maple is leaning closer to the house, that the cluster of seeds I planted yesterday will wash away. Something doesn't add up. The dishwasher still leaks after repair. Wrens nest in the window box, and the cardinal rules the bird feeder. Another woman gives her unborn to the knife. February is too wet. Each day spiders crochet webs like bridges across the living room windows I have to unravel. The mailbox shuts its mouth to good news. The neighbor's cat prowls in hues. The flag wraps itself around the pole. Another soldier is ambushed and gunned down. The house creaks and settles ghosts. Weeds shoot up like fences. Rain lakes in the wheelbarrow rusts. We close the garden door, but at night we hear brisk wind shaking its lock. Another parent forgot the baby in the car. Ants squeeze through cracks, trail the kitchen floor. I watch you cut crepe myrtle to stumps, then leaving tiny heaps of dirt in the tile inside. The toaster oven grows crumb-like calluses. The lamp's socket hangs loose. Wet cold lies over the woods. Another shooter kills 6 people. There is nothing we can do. It is a year no different from any other. We sit in front of the fire, rubbing hands together as rain floods and drowns wishes, children, and pets. Nothing can bring any of them back. Mm. Thank you.
Very good.
It's beautiful, isn't it? It's powerful. Finn was just saying that poetry is a way of getting inside feelings. But it's also, it demands that you get inside the language. I'm wondering what was most challenging for you when you began to write poetry?
Yes. The most challenging for me was that I wrote in a profuse manner, and I had to learn to pare down and choose the best words for a line or for a sentence, and also use verbs that have action. Mm. to paint a picture. I still work with that a lot, and I think I'm getting better at it.
Yeah, I think so.
I think you're a heck of an editor. I read a blog that you wrote in which you had the first draft of a poem and then the draft after you'd reworked it. And it's exactly as you said. It begins, the language is fairly flat.
Yes.
And it's very much passive. The rewrite is all action.
Yes. It's very, very important in poetry to paint that picture so that the reader can really see what you're trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Easy to say, right?
Yes.
Hard to do. How was it for you, Finn? Did you always think in English?
Oh, yes, yes. My two languages seem to be parallel. They don't cross over very much. I don't translate, although I've translated through things. In the book, there are three translations. But nevertheless, it's long, long time ago that I quit thinking from one language to the other. They're separate, on parallel tracks, so to speak.
That's what I find really interesting. I don't know that this is necessarily apropos of anything, but you said when you speak Danish, it doesn't take very long at all before you start thinking in Danish.
That's correct. Yeah, and also thinking and dreaming in Danish. Yeah, it is a strange phenomenon of identity. Yeah, but that's the way it is. So.
Again, this is one of those kind of out there questions, but do you think that you think differently in different languages?
I think that's an excellent question. I mean, it gets to the heart of the changing identity of an immigrant, and I think that the answer is yes. I'm not quite sure. I don't think I could explain it exactly, but I think that the Danish language carries with it the Danish culture and carries with it the Danish upbringing. And so there's a different feeling to it and different assumptions, I think, different ways of thinking. And so, yeah, that's just a really good question. And I think, I wonder how Helga thinks about that. But that's how I do. Yeah.
I don't speak enough German now, especially since my sister is gone. So I don't think about that at all, because everything I'm thinking about is in English now. Yes. However, I do want to say that as I am in my older age now, the German crops up more and more. And there are moments when I want to express myself in English and all that comes to me is German. So, and that's okay. I have a German-English dictionary.
Well, that's a strange phenomenon. It's happened to me too.
Yeah.
I'll be thinking along or writing in my journal and say, well, what's that? What am I trying to say? Oh, I know the Danish word for it. And yet I've been here for, over half a century. Although I've been back and forth. But I think that's very interesting because the language is embedded in me, like the culture and the language. Yeah. And so then, like you, I have a Danish-English dictionary that I sometimes consult for that very reason. Yeah. Very strange.
You have to.
David Bowie, you know who David Bowie is?
Oh, yes.
He grew up not far from me. So he's very much a South London boy like me. And in the mid-70s, he made three albums in Berlin. And the albums were originally released with him singing in English. Mm-hmm. But he also sang the same songs in German. And they make way more sense in German. I don't speak German, but just the sound of it fits the music
fits
in a way
the
that the English
better.
Lyrics don't.
That is interesting. Wow, that is so interesting. But I guess that can happen, yeah.
Deutschland. Gibt uns eine Chance. Doch können wir siegen. Für immer und immer. Und wir sind dann Helden. Für einen Tag.
You know, it's again back to what Finn was saying, you know, that I guess, you know, to coin a cliche, the Eskimos have 50 words for snow,
yeah.
You know. So how we, the language we use and the way we express ourselves, it's integral.
Well, that's true. And interestingly enough, when I was studying it at UTC and writing poetry or learning to write, someone said to me, well, you have an advantage in writing poetry because you can think it in German and write it in English. And she thought that was a great advantage because I have a greater knowledge of words.
Hmm.
But I thought that was interesting, and I had never thought of it that way. But I guess it does help, because sometimes if I want to express something in specific and I think of it in German, I then can expand what I'm writing down in English because of it.
You mean something that you conceive in German you wouldn't conceive in English?
Right. Yes, and it does happen that way.
Could you give us an example? Do you have a poem that you could read?
Oh, my goodness. No, I actually don't have a poem that would
express that. That didn't happen to you during the composition of these poems?
Of this one, no.
How about the one that you've been working on? Did it happen then?
Because
you were talking about, you know, the transition and what the impact on you. Have you had that phenomenon occur during the composition of those poems?
I do have a poem that talks about language, but I did not bring it, and I am sorry now that I did not.
That's all right. We can do this again.
I have, good. when that book is ready. I do have a poem where I'm thinking about what I am made of, and that appears in the new collection. And I'm using a line from William Wordsworth as the title. The world is too much with us. I don't remember the chain of my ancestry, how I ended up with the round face of a Neanderthal, the red strands of a Goth, the skin of a Roman, and the temper of a Hun. All of these nations in my blood I carried to America. I learned that buttons on your shirt may signal pride, that hate is a common denominator, that guns are toys in your blade chest, and the flick of a cigarette builds fires, leaving houses and people and wildlife in ashes. I carry with me half of the world. Some days feel the weight on my shoulders like Atlas. That's why I don't mind that leaves brittle and trees let go, that air plays in bare branches.
Very nice.
Yeah. So true, isn't it? We're all, you know, what is it? Whitman said, I can tell multitudes, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But anybody, maybe, well, Americans would always say, well, I'm part Irish and I'm part this and I'm part that, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas it would never occur to anybody probably that I grew up with to say that, you know, I'm English. You know, that's what they say. Yeah. I'm English and they're proud of it, you know, but that's specious.
Yeah.
You know, the Brits are a polyglot nation as much as anybody.
Well, I think Americans forget that Europeans, too, have been a culture of many people put together into one in, you know, in France, in Germany, in England.
Well, that's true. I mean, if you look at history, these country names are irrelevant, really, aren't they? Because it's just how the land's been divided and then divided again, and
somebody didn't
like that division, so they changed it. You know,
and you know, hundreds of years ago, Germany was speaking French, and so was England. I think many years ago.
That's true.
And the back and forth, you know, so. Just very interesting.
Oh, it is. Oh, man. I mean, I could sit here and talk to you all day long. Would you care to share one more poem, my friend?
I was thinking, I've got a little poem here from Denmark. It's called On a Beach. The land out there, low, hazy, green, is the island of Sjælland. Sjæl, meaning soul. I stand on the island of Fyn. I taste the names in Danish on the tongue that travels here to speak the language of my childhood. But I cannot name this bluff, whose ice-ground rocks, washed out by storms, now cover beach and crowd the brackish shallows, weak ramparts against waves that gather strength across the strait. My fafa called this hill by name, remembered shipwrecks at its base. We picnic here, my mother pointing and naming, and when a swallow launched from its clay bank nest, I cried, look, mother, look.
You both have such a way with words. Brackish shallows, that's so cool. Can you send me an email with the specific date for your reading? You're going to do this on Zoom, is that right?
Well, we haven't decided that.
We don't know yet.
It'd be nice if you could do it in person. I think you probably can now.
Think by that point we should be able to.
This is April you're talking.
Yeah.
Yes. I would think.
Yes, we do need to do a reading. We'll email you if and when it gets arranged. Yeah.
Yes.
You are going to do one, right?
We would like to do it in person, but I think they had a conflict for April, may be later in the year.
Who had a conflict? The Writers Guild?
The Writers Guild, yes, with the programming.
The only place that sells my book is Winderbinder on Fraser, and I asked them if I could have a signing or a reading. So no, we don't do events at all. So.
Well, I'll tell you what, why don't we reconvene when you have a date for the reading, because it's going to be some time away.
Okay.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And talk about the reading.
Yes.
Would you want us to come in before the reading?
Yeah, it'd be great. Because, wonderful. All of the things we've talked about, that will give us context for the next conversation.
Right. Wonderful. Thank you.
And you'll have, you already have your, all the poems for your next volume, right?
I do. I just need to put them in a form. It's all collated and everything, but I just need to put it on the computer. So, yes.
All right.
Fun.
Well,
thank you so much.
Thank you. It's always delightful to talk with you, Richard.
Well, you gave me the opportunity to talk about things that I can't talk about with most people.
Yeah. You make it easy to talk about things. Yeah. Thank you.
The collection of poems just published by Finn Billy is titled The King's Coin, Danish-American Poems. Helga Kidder's recently published collection is titled Loving the Dead. On listener-supported public radio, this is Scenic Roots.